Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Brains, welcome back to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is the place where the conversation is pointed. Let me give my pointer so I'll let you know. Point it. The guests are sharp. There she is right there, and the responses are never dull. We're going to the Caribbean. Oh, yes, I wore my bright colors. She has on her beautiful, is that orange or red? You know I can't see.
Burnt orange.
Yes, we are ready with our Caribbean colors. My sister, Chris Ann Ambrose, she is down in Antigua, originally from, where were you born? You were born
Antigua.
I'm saying it wrong. It's Antigua.
Antigua, that's how we pronounce, yes, Antigua.
Okay, Antigua. Now tell us, where is Antigua?
Now, Antigua is in the Northeastern Caribbean, directly in the center of the Northeastern Caribbean. So we are referred to as the heart of the Caribbean.
Oh, shoot. I want a trip on Let's Make a Deal to the Caribbean. And it was the best trip ever. And then my heart got broken because the storm came through and tore up everything that I had just seen. You guys really get a lot of tropical storms down there, don't you?
Yes, and I mean, the hurricane season began in June and it's going through to November. We see the bulk of the storms in September and October. But anything can happen at any moment during the hurricane season. So we just got to be prepared. It's life.
So how do people prepare themselves? Because you rely heavily on tourism.
Yes, definitely. We specifically in Antigua, tourism is our main industry. We got 365 beautiful beaches, one for each day of the year, and the tourists, they come here constantly. But we just still have to prepare, whether or not there are times when tourists are here and a hurricane comes through, you only have like maybe about a week's notice to prepare. Some days, maybe 2-3 days to prepare. But listen, it's life here in the Caribbean, and that's just what we got to do. We just always have to make sure that we have the shutters ready to shut down, make sure we have our emergency rations, you know, dried foods. Just make sure you have everything prepared. What can you do? It's a beautiful island.
It is a beautiful island, but you know, I see that the houses are not made of some of the aesthetics that we have here in the U.S. Not a lot of cement and all that. They're, you know, they're made from, you know, bamboo and other natural.
Not anymore. No, no. We and these specifically over the past 20 years, we have had to build to hurricane code. So no, we're no longer living in bamboo huts. No, that went out with the dark ages. We're now building with concrete, cinder blocks, even wood. There's a strong wood called green heart wood that basically nothing can touch it. And yeah, you know, whenever the storms come through, we do our best, but we know that we have built to code when it comes to the hurricanes. You have to in this day and age, especially with global warming and climate change. The hurricanes, yeah, the storms are coming harder, faster, stronger. So we got to know how to be prepared.
And then to rebuild. But you are a hurricane. Yes, you are. You are a storm within yourself. You are a motivational speaker, inspirational speaker, and you're traveling globally. You
yes,
are
ma'am.
An author. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you show up in the world.
Okay. Well, I can tell you quickly with my story. Approximately 14 to 15 years ago, I felt like I was a nobody. I was just the average Jane going to work, home, church, work, home, church. But there was something inside of me who wanted something more. I felt that I was just a failure in life, that this is just how I was going to stay. And then quickly, you know, my husband and I were introduced to a business that not only taught us to make money, but they taught us to believe in ourselves, to believe that we can conquer the world, how to work through all fears. In a nutshell, they taught us how to have the right mindset for success. And then when I became a part of this business, I was asked one night to get on stage and speak about the book of the week, because they fed you positive mental attitude books. And I remember when I got on stage, I was very shy and reserved, no self-confidence. The minute they put the mic in my hand, I came alive and I blew the crowd away with my motivational speaking. And I said, aha, this is what I was called to do. So April, I decided that You know, since then, no woman on my watch would ever feel like they were just born for mediocrity, that they were just born to exist, to just take up negative space. Mm. I meant that anybody who wanted my training and my help to unlock the spark and the person and the winner who was within them, if you wanted my help to do it, I was going to show you that you could be anything and anyone you put your mind to be.
Well, you know, and I say this out of respect, you know, because we just talked a little bit about the culture and the people. A lot of women don't really step out like you did in Antigua or the Caribbean. You know, they're used to, again, being the wife, being, you know, running the store or whatever the business is, taking care of the children. You know, the man is always the head of the household. But when they are able to put those stilettos on and walk, you know, in with power and gusto, I mean, that was just really revolutionary, wasn't it?
It definitely was, April. And to be quite honest with you, I have seen over the past 10 years that women are stepping out. Yes, the man, we're a lot more cultured, a lot more civilized than a lot of people think that we are. Yeah, women have jobs, but
we know that you're civilized. But like, you know, it's not civilized. It's not about being civilized because you are, but you're being, I would say, if I had to choose an S word, I'd say a little bit more submissive.
That's it. But I'm seeing now a lot of women stepping out of their comfort zone. I mean, we all had jobs. I mean, growing up, you know, every woman had a job. Mm-hmm. And I'm like 52 years old. So, you know, all women were working. If you wanted to stay at home, that was on you. But what I'm seeing now happening is a lot of women like myself deciding to step out of the little pond of Antigua. And we're no longer confident and satisfied to be a big fish splashing around in a little pond. We are going international because we now realize that with not only with technology, but the world is opening up once more. And we are stepping out to not only just keep our messages in our little island or the Caribbean region, we are international, baby. And I'm seeing that happening a lot lately. And with me doing my part, I am encouraging, teaching and coaching a lot of women to do the same. Don't just settle for mediocrity. Step out.
So what are these women really interested in? Are they, is it science? Is it research? Is it engineering? Is it international business? Is it finance? Is it all of the above?
It's all of the above, April, but mostly a lot of women I know want to start their own businesses, whether they are a nurse who want to start their own nursing agency, whether they are lawyers who are working at a law firm and they want to start their own law firm and they want to branch out and get international clients, or whether they are even a housewife and they can bake to their heart's content or they can clean a good house. They now want to start their own businesses when it comes to maid services and also restaurants as well. So that's what I am doing, teaching women to take what they have to identify, maximize and monetize their God-given gifts and abilities and their purpose.
And you're taking them from cradle to grave. I mean, from inception to the actually blueprinting it, coming up with, you know, with a business plan, maybe even doing some micro loans. Are they doing that? Are you kind of looking into micro loans? Because that's big here in the United States. Women are really supporting women and giving them their, you know, their initial startup money.
Yes, that is definitely where I'm headed to as well, April, because I don't know everything. We don't know everything, but I know a lot of women here in Antigua and internationally as well who know things that I don't know. So what we are now forming is a collaboration. And us women, let me tell you something, we are a powerful force to be reckoned with. We can be a hurricane when it comes to us tearing each other down and tearing down the world. Or we can be a powerful force and a collaboration to help the world to a common good. So I now know women who teach people to do their startups. So I'm collaborating with women like that. Persons who want to, we're now getting into, you spoke about it, the microloans. Persons who want to be speakers. You want to speak on a stage, I know who to direct you to. But most of all, and most importantly, it starts with the mindset. You've got to believe that you can. And you have to know that when on the days that you don't feel like you can, then you have somebody in your corner who knows that you can and who will not be emotional when you get emotional. So who can push you. So that's where it starts.
You absolutely need a cheerleader. And you are really changing the epigenetics for the next generation.
Of course,
You know, because
definitely.
again, it's very cultural, and you did what your father did or your mother did, or you go work in the business that they had established, or you go work at the hotel or whatever. Now they have the gumption to want to be the manager of the hotel, to actually, you know, have their own hotel, have their own private homes that they're allowing people to come in and do resorts and things like that. That's pretty exciting. What are the men thinking? You know, because women are really turning their heads.
Well, I can tell you in my household, my husband is behind me 10 million
Well,
percent.
I know in your household is straight. I'm talking about everybody else. Because
Yeah, listen, you're gonna meet
it's a culture
mixtures of
shock.
people.
It's a
Yeah,
culture shock.
definitely. Definitely. But I mean, you're gonna meet different people in different households, different thought processes. But a lot of the men I know that they are behind their women. Some aren't, but at the same time, here is where the coaching comes in, where it's easy, April, it's easy to tell persons if you're in an environment where you're not growing, where you're not blooming, move. But then what happens if that environment is in your home? What happens if that environment is being pushed by your significant other, your spouse, your husband, or ultimately even your children or the persons living with you? What happens when that happens? So that's another level of coaching that I get into when it comes to the women, teaching them to actually start infecting or affecting your environment and not allowing your environment to infect you with the negativity that's in there.
Exactly. But see, it's again, like I said, it's culture because the woman has always been grassroots when it comes to taking care of the family, taking care of the children, you know, not just cooking the dinner. That's just really in our culture, period. Still, me, I feel, you know, my place, I have no problem. Dinner is ready when he's coming home, okay? That work-life balance. And not only that, they still take care of their parents. That's very, very important that you take care of your parents, if not your grandparents. So doing that, trying to balance that and a work, it's a whole, again, mind shift change for the actual woman that's going through this. And so it's revolutionary. Church. Very spiritual. Very spiritual. A lot of, you know, churches there in the Caribbean, God comes first. You know, how are you teaching these women to balance that as well? Because it's a big part of their life.
Yes. And we are a strong species, us women, aren't we?
Yes, we
Because
are.
listen, you said it, April. It's balancing the home, balancing your career, and of course there's church and there's everything else. So what I teach women to do, learn to delegate. The
Righteous.
way,
Righteous.
yes.
Say it again, sister, because
Learn
they
to
don't get it.
delegate.
That's
And
right.
you cannot be micromanaging people when you have delegated a task.
That's
You
right.
stick to the things that you are great at, the things that you know that you cannot delegate. For example, I'm not delegating the care of my husband and children to nobody. That's my job. I'm not delegating my help to anybody. That's my job. But the things that I can delegate, listen, bless somebody with a job to come help you clean your house once a week.
That's
You
right.
know, bless somebody. There's carpooling. So I teach the women, you got to learn to delegate and do not bite off more than you can chew. The other thing is learn to say no, because I never see no woman with no super cape before. We talk about it, but
Right.
I've never seen no woman flitting from here to there with her superwoman cape. It's just not realistic, to be quite honest with you. There are some women who it looks like they can actually take on everything. Don't compare yourself to that woman, because she ain't you and you ain't her. She's got her weaknesses, even though you may not see them. She covers them well. But so do you. So you work on the things that you don't need to delegate or cannot delegate to anybody else, but look at the things that you can delegate to other people. And for heaven's sakes, let the people and them do what you ask them to do and do not try to micromanage them.
Oh.
And I had to learn that the hard way, April, because if I bring somebody up in here to clean the house, I'm walking behind them. Oh,
I
look, there's some
know.
cobweb, brush that down, and I go
I
back and
know. It's like me. My husband goes, "You clean the house before the housekeeper."
Yes,
And
right.
so now I've learned to step back and let her, you know, again, now I'm not real trusting. I don't leave people in my house when I'm not
There you
home.
go. There you
But
go.
I let her do what she needs to do because she's a subject matter expert. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I will go through and say, okay, these are the things, or I will have a, you know, a list of duties that I would like for her to complete. And I honor that because you know what? To clean somebody else's house, is no joke. And I thought I was really clean, and I am. I mean, there's no dishes, and I mop my floor and all that kind of stuff. Baby, when they come here every 2 weeks, they got 3 hours worth of work. I was wondering, what in the heck are you doing? But when I walk through my house, everything is shiny. So that's an honorable profession. Hotel, hospitality, that's really big too. Cooking, let's shake the stomach for a second. What is your best Caribbean meal that you kept?
Well, they call it here, it's called pepper pot, where it's a lot of greens cooked up together in like a big, what we call callaloo, like a soup. There's spinach, there's eggplants, there's okras, there's beans, and it's cooked and very well seasoned, and it's got like a lot of meat in it. Like there's chicken, if you like things like pigtails and stuff like that. But then there's also something called fungi. Fungi, it's cornmeal that's cooked up in okras and okra water, and it's salted. It is delicious. It goes very well with this pepper pot. So you like have a bowl of pepper pot, which is like the green soup with the greens in it. And let me tell you, it's so delicious that children love it. And then you have your ball of fungi that you're eating along with that. April, when you finish eating that, go to sleep, because you are going to be so full, you can't move.
Now, see, now you have to send me the recipe, because I'm not an okra fan, you know, but if you learn how to cook it properly,
yep,
then that's fine. In addition to that, you are some of the healthiest people on the planet. I didn't hear a whole lot of kerfuffle when it came to COVID. I hear hurricanes, you know, I hear, you know, problems with the water and getting clean water sometimes after that happens. But what did COVID, what impact did that have on the people in Antigua?
I think it's the same overall, all over. And we have had a number of COVID cases. To this day, I think the numbers range over 7,000. We're an island of 180,000 people. I'm sorry, about 80,000 people. And it has affected us the way how it has affected the entire world. Fortunately, we have not had that many deaths. I mean, one death is too many, but so far on record, I think that we are up to approximately 140 deaths out of over 7,000 persons who have been infected. And the numbers may be more, because it goes up every single day. But we're doing our best, just like everybody else, you know, maintaining strict, distance, you maintaining your distance, your social distancing, washing your hands, sanitizing, wearing your mask. And there are people who don't take that serious, don't make no joke with that. We are still wearing masks here, because when it comes to being sick in Antigua, nobody wants to be sick.
But you have some of the most organic remedies too. Your herbs, you know, the spirituality, how you interact with one another. So all of that,
Helps. It helps a lot.
It helps considerably. Yes. I mean, you know, you look at places like Australia. They didn't have half the problems that we have here in the United States, because people here are just, you know, everybody wants to be a chief. Nobody wants to be an Indian. And that's the problem with the world today. During your isolation, what did you learn about yourself?
To be quite honest with you, April, I am an introvert. As much as I love people and working with people, I'm very introverted. What I learned is that as much as I love my house, do not force me to stay in my house. When we were on lockdown from midday, every single day from midday, and then from midday, curfew started at midday and went right down until 6 o'clock the morning. And when I'm a person who likes to eat out, I love to go to restaurants, you know, I love to go to the movies as much as I'm an introvert. But it taught me that I have to be in control of the fact that, you know, if I want to stay home, I stay home. Secondly, I also had to learn a lot of different things and take advantage of my own backyard. I was out in my backyard watching the breeze blow through the trees, watching the birds eat the fruits off the trees. And I remembered when I took up the camera and I realized how much I love photography. That would not have happened if there was no lockdown.
Right.
So, you know, I learned to be my best, I learned to be my best company, and I learned to enjoy nature more.
Yeah, I did too. Well, you know, I always liked my house, and I don't know what I say, I'm introverted. I probably wouldn't go that far, but I like my privacy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's huge. When you, I can tell you who knocks on my door. I go out in town, I go everywhere, all that. But when it's home, my home is my sanctuary. It is a place where I find refuge. So have you been reading any good books lately?
Yes, there is a book that I read the other day. It's called The Four Agreements. It's an old book.
It is.
It's an old book. And I have a coach, and every week she challenges me to read, not by picking up a physical book, because listen, we're busy. So as much as I wind down with a good book, April, when I'm doing the house chores, if I'm just sitting there, you know, if I have something to do, I put on an audiobook. Right. So the book that I listened to recently was called The Four Agreements. And these are the four agreements that you have to make with yourself, that, you know, every single thing that you tell yourself, you are, it's an agreement that you're making with yourself. So if you're saying to yourself, I'm not good enough to do that, I'm not smart enough to attain a university degree, that's an agreement that you're making with yourself. When you're telling yourself a story, you get to keep that story.
And you know what? You can rewrite the story too.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. So you wrote a story. Tell us about your book. Let's see a copy of your book.
Okay. So my book is called Operation Game Plan.
On the other side. Put it on the other
side. On the other side.
Yeah. And then pull it up just a little bit so we can see it. There you go.
There you go.
Operation Game Plan.
Yes. So this is my book, Operation Game Plan. Because I'm a firm believer. It says how to overcome habits that hinder us from succeeding in life. And a part of my story is in this. All of the excuses that we tell ourselves, and we think that, oh, it's the big bad world against us that's stopping us from going forward in life, when really we are the ones who are actually pushing the agenda and the agreements that we make with ourselves, telling ourselves that I'm not good enough because I don't like this. We suffer from self-pity, what I call excusitis, constantly making excuses.
Excusitis.
Yes, sister. Procrastination. Oh, I'm afraid. So I'm going to put it off and do it tomorrow. All of these things that we tell ourselves, you know, it's low self-esteem, low self-confidence. I speak about these things in this book, and I talk to people about how we use these things. We use these things to keep us back in life.
Right.
And it's also, it's a motivational resource that teaches you about time management, how to set goals, how to overcome the obstacles. Because once you set goals, you are going to get obstacles. That doesn't mean that, okay, that's it. See, I told myself that I'm not good enough. I'm just bad luck. No, you got to learn how to break through those walls and overcome those obstacles.
Absolutely.
So that is what Operation Game Plan is all about. And it's all about me teaching you that if you do not put a plan of action in life, for your life, one will be put in place for you automatically by circumstances.
That's right.
You choose.
Right. And you know what? That is part of that I am conversation, which is biblical.
Yes.
I am what I speak, what I say, what I eat, what I think, you know, all of that. You got to shape that. You got to mold it. It's like working with clay. You're in the potter's hands. You got to mold it into what you want. And you can always change it.
Things
are not always going to go our way. You have to accept that too. It's like people that do these vision boards. It's great to do a vision board, but you know what? Your vision is going to change. There's going to be options. Your vision is going to be blurred. Sometimes you're not going to be able to see the forest for the trees. But you have to pull back the layers and you have to keep going. You've got to keep motivating yourself. You got to keep being inspired. So you said you have a coach. What else inspires you, Cassandra?
Well, let me tell you what inspires me a lot. I have got two daughters. They're 26 and 20 years old. And this is what I want people to understand, that you are a mentor. It doesn't matter what you are. You could be a drug addict. You could be a coach. You could be a child molester. You are a mentor. And children, if you can tell a child a million different times what to do, and they're going to do a million different times what they see you do. Because I remember growing up, April, every single thing that my parents said and did, it was gospel, and it was the right thing to do in my eyes. So I know that I'm mentoring my two girls, and I really have to set the example for them as a business owner, as a mother, as a woman, as a coach, as their mentor. I have to set the example. So we have to understand that life doesn't end with us. It ends with you know, with what we leave in terms of the legacy that we leave for the next generation. So my children are my inspiration, to be quite honest.
What do you want your legacy to be?
I want my legacy to be the woman who can change, who has changed the lives. And I want my daughters and my mentees and also my clients to remember me as that person. And not just, you see, success is only success when it's carried on from what you do. It cannot die with you. So my legacy is you taking what I have taught you and you carrying that on to the next generation, absolutely, that you are a winner.
All right. Well, you are winning. You are absolutely winning. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, Chris Ann Ambrose. How to purchase a copy of your book, because you are just, I mean, she's on fire, brains. Do you feel it?
Okay, brains, let me tell you. So you can find me on Facebook. I'm mostly on Facebook, Chris Ann Ambrose on Facebook. You can contact me at chris.ambrose@gmail.com. That's Chris with a Y now. I'm different. That's chris.ambrose@gmail.com. Or you can go to my website, chrisannambrose.com. You can see everything that I do there. You can hire me to speak. If you want to coach with me, you can see the different coaching packages that I offer. And one more thing that I want to mention, April, is that Operation Game Plan is now a coaching program as well. It is a 20-week coaching program where you not only get one-on-one coaching with me, at the end of each coaching program, you will get a video and also very easy to use worksheets. So it's going to take you, it's going to take you from, I don't want to say from zero to hero, but it's going to help you to build your operation game plan, to help you to identify, maximize, and monetize your purpose. And not only that, it's going to help you to break free of the wicked, evil comfort zone that keeps you stagnant.
That's right. Because you, you know, it's like a pressure cooker. You keep the lid on and it's going to pop. It's going to explode. And you are on fire. We're going to be sure to put all of your information at the back end of this video. Brains, she's so close. And the Caribbean, she can hook you up. I'm thinking about some conferences. I'm thinking about some retreats. I'm thinking about, you know, bringing her here to California, Florida, Texas, you know, everywhere. Because this is what we need. And I'm really so glad that you were able to just really step outside of your comfort zone and raise the consciousness and raise the frequency of other women there. Again, we know what you're doing, but things are changing. The culture is changing. Our responsibility, our roles. This is the age of Aquarius. We are in a much gentler cycle. We are in this awful vortex of ugliness, and we're all trying to get through, okay? And only by the grace of God. Thank you so much. Brains, I need you to handle your business. You know what your business is you to go right here. Not at the crinkle, on the other side over here. You are to like, love, and share. Leave a comment for Chris Ann, because that's the only way that she's going to be able to grow and evolve, by giving you what you need. She doesn't know what you need until you open your mouth and tell her, right? And nothing's personal. It's all about business. It's all about raising the frequency. If you are a organization here in the United States that is really looking to branch out and help women with microloans, you don't have to go as far as Africa. We love that. You don't have to go to India. We love that. You can go right to Antigua, and you might be able to get a good recipe.
There you go.
All right. So thank you so much, my sister. I appreciate you, love you, and value you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an honor.
All right. Bye, brains.